Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable and respected and beloved elders and brothers in Islam, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has chosen different parts of the world, different pieces of land on this earth, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has accorded it with various different types of blessings. Coming more to the point, when we look at the land of Palestine, Palestine, which is essentially part of Ash-Sham, and Ash-Sham doesn't refer particularly to the present-day Syria, but it refers to the Levant being present-day Syria, present-day Jordan, present-day Lebanon, and of course Palestine, and occupied Israel. Now when we look at this piece of land, I'm not going to go into much of the virtues of this land, but there are two very, very important aspects as Muslims we need to know, and we need to learn the history of this piece of land, especially of Palestine. Many of us, unfortunately, have not bothered to go into the history of this land. Many of us send our children into non-Islamic secular environments, and they pick up a total distorted understanding of the land of Palestine. Our support for Palestine is not only and merely because most of the people of Palestine are Muslims, but it is because they have been oppressed. On the one hand, we will find that when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam had left from the lands of Iraq after he was thrown into the fire, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had commanded him to make hijrah. And one darul hijrah, one place of hijrah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was the land of Palestine or Ardul Muqaddasa, the blessed land. As he approached Palestine, when he came to the place Lebanon and he ascended the Mount Lebanon, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala commanded him to ascend to the highest point he possibly could. And then Allah Ta'ala had shown him the entire land of what is known as Sham or the Levant. And Allah Ta'ala said, O Ibrahim, this land is Ardul Muqaddasa. This land is the blessed land. On the one hand, the blessedness of the land, and on the other hand, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had chosen particularly Palestine to become what is termed as a mashhad, a place that will reveal the defeat of many an oppressive nation, many an oppressive army. If we just look at the surface of it, one was the Crusades. The Crusades were not only a threat to Muslims. They also caused and created genocide with the Jews, with the Yahud. At that time in Jerusalem, about 50,000 Yahud were all put into a synagogue and they were burnt. It was at that time that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had chosen Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahumullah, and the crushing defeat of the Crusades took place in this land of Palestine. So this is a form of a mashhad, a place where Allah ta'ala will reveal the destruction of many nations. Take the Mongols, for example. They created havoc in the lands of Russia, in the lands of Iran, parts of India, Iraq, other parts of the world. And then their crushing defeat had come again in this land of Palestine. And if we go a little further beyond the timeline, then we will also know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause the defeat of Dajjal also to take place in this land of Palestine. It will be in this place that Mahdi will also join and of course fight against the evil forces. And we also know Mount Sinai will be the place where the Muslims or the believers at that time will take refuge until the fitna of Ya'juj, Ma'juj comes to an end. So this is that mashhad. This is that place that Allah Ta'ala has chosen to show the world the defeat of the greatest oppressors of a particular time. Now coming more particularly to the historical details with regards to Palestine as we have it today, we all know in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the keys to the city of Al-Quds was given to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We don't go into those details. But then right until the rule of the Ottomans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this land into the hands of the Muslims, except on one or two occasions. And Palestine remained under Islamic rule, under the rule of the Uthmani Khilafat. Then of course, we find that the Uthmani Khilafat had disintegrated for various reasons. But there is one very important aspect. Theodore Herzl had come to the last of the Uthmani Khalifas or Sultans, Sultan Abdul Hamid, rahimahumullah. At that time, the Ottomans, the Uthmani Khilafat, was in debt with a large amount of money. And a Yahud, being a Yahud, said to him that we will service your debt. We will not pay the debt out, but we will service that debt, one third of it, in lieu of 100 square meters of land in Jerusalem around Al-Aqsa. Allah reward Sultan Abdul Hamid. He said to him, how audacious you may be, but I will not give you one inch of that land. You are speaking about the sale of a land for which my predecessors had given their blood. This land was watered with the blood of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I will never give in to one inch of this land. Nonetheless, we know then the Uthmani Khilafat disintegrated. They lost a lot of land after World War I, and different lands went to different countries, and under the mandate of the British, this land of Palestine then remained. The British were the people that ruled this land of Palestine. It was then that the Yahud began to buy land in and around 1918. And they bought a significant amount of land. Many of them had come in to Jerusalem, into Palestine, and they created a militia, a kind of a mafia. Today they will speak about Hamas being terrorists. They did the very same thing, and they began to fight the British. And the British realized that there is no raw materials in Palestine. What they had comparatively in India, here in South Africa, in other places of the world, there's no gold mines, there's no natural raw material resources, there's no oil. So hence, they then made that Balfour Declaration, and from 1918, they could not resist the Yahud fighting them, and eventually in 1948, they had left this land on the understanding that the Yahud will take over. There are many documents that say that they had sold the land to the Yahud, but that's a different issue. The important aspect is, in 1948, which now becomes the modern history of the land of Israel, the occupied land of Israel and that of Palestine. As soon as the British left and the Yahud took over this land, understand, the people of Palestine were very simple farmers. They had absolutely no resources. They had no concern for their own defense, because they were defended always by the Khilafati Uthmaniyya. By the Ottomans. The Ottomans provided them whatever protection they so required. And hence, when the Yahud in 1948 took over the land, which all of us can understand, it was a stolen land. The first thing they did was atrocities. And brothers and friends, 427 villages were taken over. About 1,800 masjids were destroyed. And 700,000 Palestinians were made to leave their homes. There was one or two that Allah had given us the opportunity of meeting. And friends, they would show us the key of the house. They were told not to take a lot of things. You'll come back to your land. It is as though you're going out for a few days and you will come back. They were simple-minded people. And in that way, 700,000 of them were moved and evacuated from the area. And the Yahud then occupied these villages. 1967, we all understand and we know that the various attacks on Israel is when they had gotten control over the West Bank, the Golan Heights, and obviously Al-Aqsa and Jerusalem. And then on the other side, it was Gaza that today becomes one of the talking points of the entire human race. And the atrocities that they had committed and they continue to commit. Brothers and friends, we all understand and we know the ramifications with regards to Gaza, that it is hardly 42 kilometers in length and at its widest point 12 kilometers. 2 million people dwell there. And it has become the biggest open-air prison in modern history. There is a total blockage, but there are some aspects that we need to learn. We need to understand that this is not for them, this is for us. For us to understand what is it that on 7 occasions they were bombed, and even after the 7th occasion, today is the 7th day of this last occasion, but each and every Ghazan will tell you that we will not bow down to the atrocities of the Yahud. And we will remain standing. And we will continue our fight until we get martyrdom. And this brings us to a very, very important point. That we as an ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to ask ourselves, each one of us, and I ask myself the question, what is that one single factor that will make me happy? Some of us may say it is the accumulation of wealth. Others will have other factors that will make them happy. But when we look into this history of Islam, look at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. What created elation, what created joy? It was shahada. It was to give their lives for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is the spirit the people of Gaza have. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept them as a nation that will remain on this path. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in one ayat of the Quran, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرُضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we had emancipated him from the fire of Namrud, Walutan, and Sayyidina Lut alayhi salatu wassalam, إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ, to a land which we had blessed for the entire world. The fight is not the fight of the Palestinians. The defense or the offense is not the defense or the offense of the Palestinians. This is a matter of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we should never, and this is the important aspect, that when you go around and you watch in social media and other media, Muslims' reactions to whatever is happening, we should go directly to the seerah and the life of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all understand the circumstances of the battle of Khandaq, the battle of the trench, or what we will call the battle of Ahzab, the confederates. Every force in the surroundings of Medina Munawwara leave the surroundings, even Medina Munawwara itself. The Yahud had broken the peace pact with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and things became difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they saw all of this, what was the response of Sahaba? مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what Allah and His Rasul has promised us. This type of crisis is the promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had remained true to their promise. It was a time when we look at it from the point of view of a season. It was icy cold in Medina Munawwara. When we look at financial resources in Medina Munawwara, there was absolutely nothing. We all know the history that Sahaba, because of extreme hunger, had tied stones to their bellies. And when they would speak about it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would remove his upper garment and he would show them that I have two stones tied to my belly. Now the important aspect of this battle, and that is the point that one needs to raise, is that the digging of the trench had begun. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the sahabi that gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the advice about digging the trench so that that will keep the enemy at bay. And Allah had created, this is the beauty of the seerah, that where the point where Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself was digging, there was a rock that he could not penetrate. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had demarcated, he had marked off the line of the trench. So when he came on this line, and there is this rock, Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is advised by those around him that detour, deviate from that line, go around the rock and continue. Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, brothers, teaches this ummah a lesson. I will never deviate from that demarcation of my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, in our lives, in every aspect, Allah make us maaf. There is deviation upon deviation. We have diluted our deen to such an extent. We will call ourselves moderate Muslims. Those who will remain firm, we will call it fanatism. But these were the ashab and the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are the aspects that we need to introspect about in our lives. Nonetheless, Sayyidina Salman goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. And Allah Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam strikes the rock the first time. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ Allah's words have been complete. عَدْلًا صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا As far as truth and justice is concerned. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ There is no one that can change the words, the decree or the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strikes at that rock. Now when he strikes at the rock the first time, a spark emits from that rock. The second time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strikes, another spark emits. And on the third occasion, a third spark emits. Some of the Sahaba had noticed this. And they raised this issue with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this wouldn't have been a meager spark. It would have been something huge for the Sahaba to have seen. And they raised this issue with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, we had seen the spark. At that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Sahaba, did you also notice that spark? They said, yes. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, it was not just a spark as you had seen it. But in the first spark, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had shown me the palaces of the Persians. And in the second, Allah Ta'ala had shown me the palaces of the Byzantines. And in the third, Allah Ta'ala had shown me the palaces of Yemen. And then he goes on to explain that Allah will give us victory. Now the munafiqeen at that time, they look at the outward condition of Muslims. You have no food. There is a siege on Gaza. There is no food going into this place. You have absolutely nothing. All odds are against you. And you have these big and huge dreams of conquering the Persians and the Byzantine and the Yemenis. And they began to make a mockery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was on that occasion that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed two verses of Surah Ali Imran. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ In the form of a dua, say, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ O Allah, you are the owner of sovereignty. That sovereignty is in the hands of Allah. And this is where we as Muslims need to realize and understand It is not in the hands of the United Nations. It is not in the hands of the people of the East or the West of this world. It is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Tu'til mulka man tasha. Allah, you are the one that gives sovereignty to whomsoever you desire. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. And Allah, you remove and take away sovereignty from those whom you desire. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You give honor to whomsoever you desire. And of course, you take away honor and you give disgrace to whomsoever you desire. And of course, Allah Ta'ala continues. But the important message that Allah has given this ummah on that occasion of Ahzab, the battle of trench, is that, friends, there are these three sparks of hope. Like Allah had given that hope to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is always hope for this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let us learn from the example of Sayyidina Salman Al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he was not prepared to waver from that lifestyle that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had chalked out. Allah give us the tawfiq that we all remain steadfast on our deen. At this time, what we can do for our brothers, not only in Palestine, but in the whole world, is that we make dua. Solidarity is in different ways. But friends, let us learn, and let me ask myself the question and each of us. Did we ever shed one tear for those that lost their lives? Those that have become, leave those who are living. At this moment, over 300,000 are homeless. But those who have left this world, there is no place to even bury them. That is the condition of those people. Has it struck our heart? Has it brought about one tear in solidarity for the people of Gaza, the people of Palestine? Let us learn as an ummah to continuously make dua. Whether we are alone, whether we are with our families, together, let us make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala will change these conditions. That is what Allah Ta'ala requires from the whole ummah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala change the conditions for the people of Palestine, especially the people of Gaza. May Allah Ta'ala show us the victory that this ummah is waiting for. And of course, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala keep us all on the sirat-i-mustaqim. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.